Welcome to the Filmmaker Mixer Podcast, the podcast by filmmakers for filmmakers. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined alongside my co-host, Jeff, as always. Jeff and I are writers and directors and passionate about the art of storytelling. Filmmaker Mixer is a creative hub where aspiring and established filmmakers come together to share experiences, insights, strategies, and inspiration.
And today we are talking to the filmmakers behind the award-winning pilot, Restorage. Hello, everybody. This is the Filmmaker Mixer podcast, and today we are chatting with Ian Verdugo and Caleb Davis. They are the creative team behind Restorage, and you guys are already crushing it on the film festival circuit. You've had some wins in some very significant festivals, Slam Dance and Austin Film Festival, so congratulations on that. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much
for having us on, and
You say that we're crushing it, but on the film festival, but this is literally like days after getting rejected from like two festivals.
Yeah. So
it's, you know, that's great. We have been in a couple festivals, and we are also not going to play some other festivals.
Hey, you know, it's usually not playing anything for, you know, that's the thing. And what's weird is, actually, I got a question for you guys. But I want to circle back and talk about, have you guys explain what your pilot is about, which I thought was really smart, really clever, really fun. I went into it, I'm thinking, what is this thing going to be? But I don't want to give anything away because I don't know how much you're talking about the actual plot, but it's a great hook.
Yeah,
it's really smart.
Thank you.
So speaking of the festivals, before we get into the film, you know, with Film Freeway, there are like a billion festivals, and, you know, there are a lot of what I call buy an award festivals. And when you're navigating that for the first time, it's hard to know. You know, you can get excited about, oh, I can get into this festival and that festival, but really you want impact with a good film festival. And you got into, like I said, Slam Dance in Austin. What was your process to decide where to apply and where not to apply? Did you just start with the best ones, or did you, you know, what was your strategy?
Yeah, I think our main thing was that because it's a pilot episode, it's not a short film or a feature. I feel like if it was a short film or a feature, we would have been like, you know, there's more fish in the sea to choose from.
Right.
But with it being a pilot, we were like, well, we don't want to submit it as a short because it's not going to play as a short. And we don't want to submit it as a feature. So we're going to find all of the festivals that have pilot competitions or episodic competitions or, you know, web series stuff.
Yeah.
And just submit to those. But we also intentionally were like, let's go for the ones that are not the mom and pop film festivals are so awesome, but we were like, let's not do that. Let's just put it out there and see if there is a pull from industry. And so that was kind of it. We honestly only submitted to like 10 or 12.
I was gonna say we really didn't submit to too many. And also for this festival portion, we've been paying for all of our own travel and flights and festivals and everything. So that's part of it too, is we could play 15 smaller festivals, but then it's like, oh, well, we're probably not going to travel to any of those. And then is it worth it? Like you said, you know, you're sort of just award buying. And that's not to say that we think that our thing is like award buying even worthy, but it's just a lot. So for us, we knew that it was very much, let's go for the festivals that we would be truly excited to get in, or even some, like, obviously, like, we submitted to Sundance, but just even like not knowing very well that probably we're just not going to make Sundance. But again, you know, we want to submit to those, the ones that we would be excited about if we were to be accepted. And so, I think Austin, we played Austin Film Festival and then we just got back from Slam Dance. And those are the two that the two that we've played so far.
Yeah. The only two that we played, the only ones we're waiting for one more. And then after that, we're going to figure out what's next.
Right.
Do we need, Jeff, is it worth me like explaining what the pilot is, like the
I
story of
was
the
gonna
pilot
that's
for
where
the
I was gonna start
listeners?
before we went off on the festivals. So I got a little sidetracked, but yeah. And by the way, Caleb, you look like Ryan Gosling in Drive. You're waiting for like bank robbers to come running out of that building so you can take off in your car.
Dude, that is like we talked about doing a side job, doing the thing that really makes money. It's robbing people and then
Well,
hurting people
you
for
don't rob people.
revenge. That's right.
You're
I
the
just
driver.
drive.
You're the driver.
Well, I'm
Yeah.
still, but I still, well, yeah, I'm still technically a robber though, right? Even if
Well,
you drive.
I would argue that you're kind of in a neutral space.
And that's why you're going to be my lawyer when I go to court eventually. Yeah,
So
I'm in my
it's
car and I'm.
neutral robber driver guy. Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
neutral robber driver. Yeah,
Well,
I
tell
will
us
say
about. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
before we started this. Oh, sorry. So yeah, before we just to go into the that I'm you guys are in a nice like home space and I'm obviously in my car that I was talking to Jeff if you are watching the video and your angle was gonna be this behind the steering wheel with my head. It's not anyway,
Which is
this doesn't matter. I will.
actually kind of awesome, you know?
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's why we make stuff, Jeff. That's why we're paid no money to make really creative things. So yeah, Restorage is a half-hour dramedy sci-fi about a family who at the beginning of the episode is at the will reading for their father, the patriarch of the family, who has some wealth, has a business, and is bequeathing his kids, his three adult children, some money. Our main character is named Chase. He is, I think, the youngest, maybe the oldest. I don't know if we've come up with that yet, but he's sort of the black sheep of the family. There's some drama, that is happening between him and his siblings. And at the will reading, he, as the sister, gets the family estate, the brother gets the business. Chase inherits a storage unit, and that's it. So throughout the episode, you start to see that he is living a life. He lives in a trailer, and his life is just kind of in a mess. And upon at some point going to the storage unit, it is completely empty with a bunch of sort of knickknack stuff. And he ends up discovering that the storage unit, has the ability to fix anything that you place inside of it that is broken. Essentially, it can restore to new anything that's broken that is placed inside. And so we sort of play with, we play with that a little bit with a sort of a hook in the end about, fixing things and fixing people and what all that kind of looks like. But that's, essentially in a nutshell, kind of our pilot.
And I saw in another or no, it was your behind the scenes footage, I think, when you talk where you talked about how this idea got started and you based it around the location that you had. So tell us about that. I'm curious about that story.
Yeah, so Caleb and I, it was in like 2021. I wanted to shoot like a really silly sketch comedy thing, and I asked Caleb to come and make it better by acting in it.
I'm a very bad actor.
No, Caleb did. It was amazing. We will send it to you. I am proud
So,
of it, solely
oh, dude, send it to me.
because of
Yeah.
Caleb.
Yeah, send it to me. That'd be
Solely
awesome.
because of Caleb.
We will send it to you, but it is, don't
No,
expect, do not expect greatness.
no, but I'm
It
saying
is very
I am
bad.
proud. I've
I'm
already got
proud
the Ryan
of
Gosling sort of idea here going.
Okay,
So
great.
don't
Okay, great.
disappoint me.
I will say it's a
It
very different look. I'm like
is,
glasses,
but it's.
backwards hat, mustache. I think I'm like clean shaven. So you're gonna be like, I don't know that kid. I don't
It's
know
so
this guy.
good. It's so good. But yeah, we shot this short film in this studio. I just asked like there was a client that I worked for a handful of times, and I just asked like, hey, can I use this studio space to make it look like an interrogation room just for free? I have no money, whatever. And they were like, yeah, sure. And while we were filming, the owner of the studio pulled me aside and said like, hey, it sounds like you guys are having like a total blast, and it sounds like amazing, and I love people like that. I actually own an entire storage facility. So if you ever need like a storage facility or a storage unit for a short film or something, like I'll let you use it for free. And so then from there, Caleb and I met up, and I asked him, I was like, hey dude, like I'm this opportunity came up. Wouldn't it be cool if we like made a television show or a short or something that's kind of like Kim's Convenience, you know, where it's like there's a dysfunctional family that's like comedic, situational comedy. Maybe they own the storage facility or the storage unit. And then Caleb, this is where the brilliance of Caleb comes in. He was like, well, that's awesome. But what if the storage unit is like a portal or something? And then, I mean, that's what took it off is like, I think at that point we, you know, I was just like, let's make something that's like small and shootable and maybe fun family dramedy. And then Caleb was like, let's make it weird. And then we sort of explored that idea, pitched it to the guy who owned the facility. And then he was like, great, I'm your executive producer now. Let's go make it.
Wow.
That's honestly thinking back to that, it's one of the best ways. We should do that anytime we do any job, anytime somebody's like, hey, I'd love for you to make something. And then you make it and you just pitch it to them and you say, just give me a lot of money to make it. Even though we did not make this for money, but like, we need to continue that trend.
Yeah.
Maybe we would have more projects done.
We need to have more fun and then hope that there are investors that are happening to be in that location that'll say, hey.
Hey.
You guys sound like you're having fun.
I own an ice cream stand.
So how long did it take you to go from the portal idea to the restorage idea? What was your collaboration process like? I mean, you were just spitballing and throwing around ideas. How did you develop it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that we had shot that short film in October of 2021, and I think probably November we started toying with the idea, and then probably about like 4 months we like worked through I think the first season, like just kind of outlining.
Yeah. Oh, so you the pilot, you did the whole season.
Yeah.
I mean, well, did you beat it out or did you write it?
No.
Okay. Yeah. No. We just outlined it. Because we wanted for the pilot to, even for us, just to have a sense of what's the story as a whole. And I think that's part of, you know, why we sort of did it as a pilot is, as we were coming up with this, part of it was we didn't have enough money, we knew, to make a feature, and we didn't just want to make a short. We wanted to do something that could have a larger story impact. And so we thought, well, with the amount of money that we have, with the type of story that we're telling, it could be really cool to have. And so for us, when we sat down and came up with the outline for the series, we wanted to do that before I think we even started writing the first episode, because we wanted to have a good sense of, well, we're going to see the characters at the beginning of their journey. What's the end of their journey? And how will that actually change the way that we write the beginning of their journey? So we tried to put some effort into, you know, coming up with a season and a season arc so that we could, you know, understand better the beginning of the episode of the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
So you worked out what the season would be, and then you wrote the pilot and shot the pilot with the hopes that you'd sell it to a studio or that you'd get it picked up by somebody. Or what were you thinking?
I mean,
dude, here's the thing. When I had the initial meeting with the executive producer, I was like, he was like, do you have any short films? And I was like, yeah, but like, if you want to put money into a short film, I feel like, don't you want to make money back? This is me speaking totally ignorantly, at like 100%. And he was like, well, yeah. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe we can shoot a pilot and then maybe we could sell it or something. Again, absolute ignorance. But honestly, like naivety that led us to be audacious enough to try and do it. And I think, yeah, no, our plan was like, just, I don't know, let's see what happens. And we're literally in the middle of that.
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there, you know, there is something that's kind of nice about being naive, because you just jump in feet first and you get it done. I mean, I've worked with producers who they spend so many times, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's that the projects never get done.
Yeah.
Whereas,
yeah.
If you're thinking, let's just do it, then suddenly you got a film done.
And yeah, I think something too that happens is, especially, it's funny now because we are kind of going through this, is now that we sort of understand a little bit more, it's like how all this works in the landscape. It's like, I don't know if we would do a pilot again, simply because we might have the fear of knowing that this isn't going to go anywhere. Right. And so that alone, that fear, because we have done a little bit of this, might keep us from pursuing something that you know, again, we haven't been picked up for a season. We no network has reached out to us yet, and we can talk more into that of what that process is looking like. But something could happen. Something could always happen, right? And we worked hard to make it happen. But again, that naivety, I think, allowed us to even just make it where, like, now I think we might both be, oh, we're too scared because nothing's going to happen, so we're not going to make a pilot. So yeah, it's a lot more fun. Honestly, it's a lot more fun to be sort of a little bit naive and then just go into it, and nothing may happen from it, but at least we got to do something that was fun and cool.
It seems perfect for like a Hulu or some. I mean, there was, I can't think of the show. What was the show? My buddy Zane did the effects for it, where this a gun shows up on a doorstep, and you know, this person receives this anonymous gun, doesn't know why. And then the next thing you know, someone's chasing after him, trying to shoot him. And the whole thing was, that was the whole show. It was a cool idea. And that's, I think, of yours, you know, the engine of the story is, you know, the setup of the storage unit. And I think if you could tease that out over, you know, multiple episodes, I mean, the audience knows what they're going to get, but they're not going to get the answer. I'm assuming you're holding something back, you know, season or a show, episode is an episode. So, yeah. I mean, I definitely could see it as a TV show.
Yeah. Well, that's our hope. I think, you know, Caleb and I, well, thank you for saying that.
Yes. And thank you for watching it. Thank you for even watching it.
No, I enjoyed it. Yeah.
It's encouraging to just get any sort of validation, because I think, and I've said this a couple times with a few people, but I think this whole process up until the festivals, which I know filmmakers are probably like their biggest critics, but I, not at the expense of everyone else's work on the project, but I think that I always felt like, man, is this thing even any good? Is this even, this is probably not great. And that's just the way I always viewed it until we got into Austin and then like heard the audience respond to it that was peers and not just like friends and family. I was like, oh, there's like something to this. Okay. So I'm like sad that it took me that long, but I'm also like, yeah, I'm happy that we're like here. And I think that, you know, we're hopeful for the future, but also Caleb and I definitely believe that this should be told like a show through the sort of format of television versus like a feature, because we really love the idea of exploring mainly the characters. Like, yes, there's the sci-fi element, but there's like all these like siblings, right? And these characters that are in this like project that I think if we did a feature, you can only like only go so far with them. But with the show, it's like you can get into each of these people's sort of like backstory, why they're broken, why they're the way they are. We talked a while about like, should we figure out how to make a feature? Should we figure out? And I think we're both at the place where we're like, no, this should be a show. And we would love if someone like Hulu or Apple or heck, I don't know, an unknown streaming service.
Tubi, Freevee, Meevee, any platform that ends in V. Yeah.
Anything that's like, hey, here's some money to make the rest of it and tell the story. And maybe you can pay some of your bills with this money. I'd be like, okay, great. Maybe not any network, but
Caleb, you said that you guys have are you in the same production company together? Do you have, cause don't you do corporate commercial work as well? Or cause I was going to, I kind of, the reason I'm bringing that up is I thought the film looked really good. So I'm curious, did you use a DP that you use a lot? Because the film looked great.
We shot with a DP that I know, Ian, you had worked on, done one commercial job with Kyle Sanders, is our DP, and Ian had worked with him on a commercial job. And then he had shot another short film by a super talented filmmaker here in Dallas named Matt Black. And the short is called Stalled. It's, again, a sci-fi thing, super fun. Go watch it. It's online right now. It is, it's like 20 minutes or 17 minutes or something like that. And it's incredible. Kyle Sanders shot that. And I think from there, very much Ian had known him, worked with him a little bit, and the relationship just clicked in a way. But yeah, Kyle Kyle's incredible. I don't know if you want to speak to that. Kyle's incredible, but something also that we were able to do and that we knew was going to be a really important part of this was production design, like actively in some of the locations that we had and in utilizing art and props. And because that's a huge part of it too, right? Is we're showing all of these items in his trailer that are broken. In a sort of subtle way, we're really setting up the character with them. But then also he ends up taking all of those items, taking them to the storage unit, getting all those items fixed. So we needed different versions of those items. We wanted this, all of these spaces to feel, you know, like his trailer, we wanted it to feel lived in. And so the cool thing is we were able, I think really for the first time in a project like this, we were able to marry both, you know, utilizing our DP and his skills, with obviously the vision from a directing standpoint that Ian had cast with production design, to sort of marry all of those together. And I love it. I think that's one of the things I love watching the most. We've seen it so many times at this point. So it's really easy to criticize it when you've seen it so much. But one of the things that I keep coming back to that I'm, again, I think so proud of is for the limited amount of money that we had to make this, is the look of it really does feel like, again, if you were to know the budget, you would be like, the level of sort of professionalism from the shots all the way to the production design to the locations really do look pretty outstanding in my opinion. So
how many days did you shoot? How long was your schedule?
Six days. Yeah. But I don't think it was straight. I think we had a couple days in between.
And you cast your actors through TikTok? Is that what you said behind the scenes? Is that tell us about that? That's crazy.
Yeah.
So after we essentially Caleb and I pitched the concept to the investor, and then we like, you know, basically he was like, okay, cool, green light. Obviously it was more complex than that.
And then you were done.
And then we were done. It was finished.
And then we had a product. That's filmmaking.
Yeah, that's filmmaking. Exactly. No, but then Caleb and I and our other producer, Elena Rude, we all got together at a coffee shop and then like truly started pre-production. And we were kind of going through what little money we had. And I like Caleb and I said, we want to hire a casting director. We want anything that's seen to be the thing we spend the money on, which is casting and production design. Like that those things would be the things that we spend a lot of money on. And we found out that casting directors cost a lot of money and we didn't have a ton. So we use this thing called Backstage, which is just like an online platform to find local actors or, you know, national actors. And we posted on there and got some like really wonderful talent through it. But that same day when we were meeting, I was like, hey guys, I know we can't get a casting director to find like this, the lead for us, but I just recently downloaded TikTok and started following a bunch of really funny people. What if we like reached out to one of them and asked them to audition? What do you think? And I think Caleb and Elena were like, that's kind of dumb and ridiculous. And
we weren't. Our reaction was not that bad. It was our very first meeting, and we were more talking like high level stuff, like, hey, what's the timeline? What's the thing? And Ian is just on his phone the whole time, just scrolling. And we're like, Ian, you want to contribute? Like, what are you doing? And he's just like, so guys, there's like three people on TikTok, and I think they could be perfect. And we're like, okay, well, this is just like, is this what our 6 months of pre-production is going to be like? What? And yeah. But to his credit, like we reached out to, I think from the several people that we reached out to, we ended up meeting a couple of them. Yeah. We ended up getting a couple like callbacks for these. And then the one gentleman who responded immediately is who we ended up casting. His name is Connor Boyd, or Moschino Dorito, on TikTok and Instagram. And he, I think we had seen his stuff because he had just gone viral for a video that he did for where like Doctor Strange, the second one, was coming out. And he had done like a portal kind of opening for Doctor Strange.
We'll send it to you and you can.
Yeah, we'll send it to you. Yeah, Disney had seen it, and because it was coming out, I think, before the premiere, and they invited him to the premiere, and he did it at the premiere. And so I think that sort of was one of the things that started his sort of, like, he started doing brand deals and stuff like that, which a lot of people on TikTok, you know, will do. And so we had seen that, and Ian had reached out to him, and I remember his first email, because we were also, you know, we're casting, but we're not casting directors. And our first email to him was like, "Hey, Texas production, like, so exciting, thousands of dollars." Like, I'm sure it sounds so sketchy, but to like, he responded immediately. And he
sounds
was
like
okay.
a scam yeah. email coming
yes.
in.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like a scam. But you know, to his credit, he was like, "Hey, I'll talk to you guys. We'll see." And then and then we got on a call with him. He was great. I don't think he even understood, even when he auditioned, the scale of the thing. I think he thought it was like just some really tiny, stupid thing we were doing. Cause I remember this is again, now I'm, but when, even when he flew in to Dallas,
and he was from,
we
where?
Had at this point,
New York,
Brooklyn. New York. Yeah. So when he flew into Dallas, as we're driving, he was like, "So what, like, camera are we shooting on?" I was like, "Oh, we're shooting on an Alexa Mini." And I think it was the first time truly that it connected in him that, like, oh, this is a lot more serious than I think I thought. I thought maybe we were just doing some dumb, like, shooting on a DSLR mirrorless camera. So, but like, one of the things that was incredible, and Ian, you should tell the story about his audition.
Oh yeah. We like had sent him the thing, you know, the sides, and asked him to send his audition, and everyone that submitted, like, that, you know, some auditions were really great, some auditions were whatever, fine. But like, his stood out so significantly because he he edited together his audition to where, like, he basically did coverage of all of the characters in the sides. So he played everyone.
Oh, wow.
And he added like his own music.
That's interesting.
Which is like,
yeah.
I know it's like kind of a risky thing to do, because you're sort of, yeah. Like, you know, I'm sure some filmmakers would hate that, but it was so funny. And like the pacing and the beats of it were like, this is so on par with what we're wanting. Like, this is exactly what we want. And he put like the Wii sports music in it to make it even
It was just, it was so fun. And as you know, Jeff, like when you get auditions, all the audition is it's just, you know, it's like me here in this frame, somebody off frame, and yeah. You're reading the side, and that's it. Right. And so, but to see him actually take, I think what we did is we immediately understood his comedic sentiments because of the way he was editing himself in the right. scene. And even right. when he would play the different characters, it was like he was playing them. It was perfect, because we got a sense of, hey, he could really act, because the way he's playing the characters, the way he's cutting himself, it was absolutely perfect. That's it was smart. Everything that the character needed to be.
Yeah.
And it was all just on his own.
Like, computer.
Like, yeah, and he just did it on his own time, on his webcam. It was it was wonderful. And immediately, with his willingness, and I think that's part of it too, is sort of the like champagne casting of it, is he's really good, he's really talented, but for the type of character that we were writing, he just is that person. It's just, even like him in real life, there are moments where, like, the clothes, some of the clothes that he wears in the thing are just his clothes. He's just like,
like, wardrobe, which Caleb's wife did wardrobe, she did all, you know, did all that. And on TikTok, after he filmed with us, I kept seeing him wear his wardrobe.
Yes.
It's like, oh my gosh, he's committed to it. This is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, what would have been awesome in his audition is if he had yelled cut and then came in and played the director and the writer, played both you guys too.
Yes.
Like, all right, he gets it.
You're not doing
We probably would have just given him the whole production. It's like, this guy knows what he's doing. It's amazing.
So that is cool. Wow. That's interesting. And the other characters were also TikTok or no? Your other leads?
No, the other characters were all backstage.
Gotcha. Backstage, but also some friends of ours, oh, or people
right.
that
yeah.
people that we knew.
So,
through,
so you went to TikTok and your Facebook friends. Is that what you're saying?
It's basically honestly what we did.
Well, there were, what's interesting is there were people that we, that had agents, like we reached out to a couple agents in New York and Los Angeles, and we got a couple meetings with some, both TikTok, but also some actors who were repped. And the one, and it's interesting though, because the people that we ended up feeling like that, yeah, the people that worked were the people that we got off of that, you know, backstage, and or again, like some actor friends that we knew. And so it is interesting because I do remember that, like, we got some meetings and we, you know, reached out to these people, and it's just for whatever reason, their audition for that just wasn't exactly what we needed or what we wanted from the character. And, you know, we ended up finding some people just off of, you know, Facebook friends and backstage, which there's nothing against backstage. It's amazing. You'll get a million people. Yeah.
But there's a lot of really great talent on backstage.
Yeah.
They're hidden in there. Like Olivia, who plays Lisa, when we
got her sister.
We were like, the moment I saw it, I was like, she has to be in this project. Like, she's so incredibly good. And then we found out that she didn't have an agent, that like she'd only done like a handful of short films, but was doing theater. And I was like, we were kind of just blown away. So like, honestly, like no shade to backstage, and because there's
absolutely
actual talent that's there. And it just, it's, you know, we were really fortunate also, to find some really great people, and then also have friends that are good actors and that were committed to it. So yeah.
Well, I want to circle over to something else, because Andrew and I, when we do the show, we get this question a lot. You know, how do you maximize a film festival? I'm curious, with Austin or with Slam Dance, did you have a strategy going in to get people into the theater or to network with other producers or writers or agents or anything? You're laughing. It's like, nah, we just went.
I mean... You go ahead.
No, I mean, it's the naivety, honestly, like which I don't think is a bad thing. We went to Austin. We were like, oh my gosh, we got in a film festival.
Yeah.
Which honestly, yeah. Jeff, when we submitted, we were like, we're not going to get anything, but like, whatever, let's just put it out there. And the fact that we even got into something, we were like, we have no idea. Let's just go. Our strategy was literally show up. And I am like such an extrovert that I was like, if anyone has a badge that says Austin Film Festival on it, I'm going to ask them a million questions, ask them what film they're in, like, or what film they made. And like, can we go to their screening? So it was just like networking. But then
when
it came to Slam Dance, we were trying to be a little more strategic.
It's funny because for Austin, it very much was that showing up and we just were like, this is great. And again, we have a lot of family and a lot of friends. And it was a lot easier since we're in Dallas for like our team to show up to. Yeah. So we had a lot of people, and we knew that we would have a lot of people show up to some of the screenings. And, you know, we just have a ton of friends in the area. So that was a little bit easier than obviously Slam Dance, which is in Utah. For Austin, it very much was, let's just show up. We're just going to have a good time. We have no idea what we're going to experience. And then, Slam Dance, we tried. But even in our trying there, it's funny because we would go and there would be films there that would have these massive pop-ups or be doing these very specific things. And again, not that we didn't want to do these things, but we are also, because we just don't have any money really for these things.
We're barely able to afford getting there. So like
trying to get there is even tough to sort of like justify. Yeah. So we were able to, obviously, through, you know, a publicist, you know, get, you know, take a bunch of meetings and get some stuff and everything like that. But yeah, Slam Dance still was just trying to meet as many of the other filmmakers as possible. Yeah. I think honestly that to us was maybe even, it's not necessarily, and maybe this is stupid, not that it's more valuable, because maybe it's honestly more valuable to go to all the executive producers of projects and try to network with them to try to get stuff sold. But for us, we just love meeting the other filmmakers. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even some of the relationships that we've made just from these two festivals alone with some of the other filmmakers have already been so valuable and so sweet and so encouraging. And, you know, or, and then what, and then we would just invite those people to the screening. And then they would invite us to their screening depending on what it is. And so it's that honestly is, you know, a consistency from both festivals, something that I think I loved was meeting and networking with these other filmmakers.
And a lot of times these are people you may end up working with in the future. I met some people at Sundance and Slam Dance before that I still stay in touch with. And I've actually worked with a couple of them on different things. And you know this, having your corporate, you know, production company. Andrew and I always talk about this in the podcast. We call it building your tribe. You know, you meet these people and you maybe do short films, or maybe you're just starting out and you're doing your first feature or whatever. And you find people that you want to work with in the future. And next thing you know, you're hiring them again. Or like you said, you meet someone at Slam Dance and, you know, 2 years from now, who knows what's going to happen. So that's interesting. So what,
I was just going to say, I would also say kind of to Caleb, also to Caleb's point about like, you know, I think if there is a strategy, our strategy in any festival is honestly just like, yes, meeting the other filmmakers, but also like showing a genuine interest in who they are and their work. Mm-hmm. I think that like made it just, I mean, even if they didn't come to our screening or we didn't see their thing, just like meeting someone else and being like sincere.
Yeah.
Honestly made it really like enjoyable for us. But anyways,
that's well, it. What's next for you guys? You working on anything new or?
Yeah.
Okay, that was too long of a pause.
Yeah, well, we both said that. There's always something. So sure. Immediately after we got back from Austin, we shot a short film that Ian wrote and directed. We're in post-production on that. And then, you know, kind of right now there's several features, that have been written that we're toying a lot with trying to get, I think where Ian and I would love is we would love to get into the feature space. Neither one of us has made a feature. So we would love for that to happen, to get to the point. And then for Restorage, I think really now it's trying to figure out what it would take to really make a season, you know. And so instead, because for a long time we were toying, do we turn this into a feature, or do we go for the show route? Everybody's saying that the show route's not the way to go. Yeah. So for us now, it's sort of trying to figure that out. Is, hey, okay, if we were to actually tell the story, we think that a feature version, or we think that a full season version of this is the best way to tell the story. How can we make that happen? You know, is it through private funding? And then is it through trying to get it to a network, or, you know, how is that going to work? And so we're really trying to focus on that, figure out how that can work. And then, there's some features that have been written that we're, you know, hopefully going to be pitching at some point. And then there's always ideas for other. Yeah. I mean, Ian, you there's always ideas.
Yeah. With Restorage, we're about to hopefully apply for an episodic lab with the Independent Spirit. I forget what it's called, but we're like applying for that and then applying for a couple of other labs with like features that we've written. Cause I think that, we now having done Restorage, we're like, or at least the pilot, we're like, wow, this takes so much more work than just a short film. I can only imagine what a feature would be. But our hearts are bent towards features so much. What are the avenues we can take now with the written scripts that we have to see if we can get them developed or made one day, or it's just, you know, scripts that we have written that we read with our friends.
It's
together. It feels like, you know, I know for me, it's like every project that I do, I want and need Caleb a part of it, because Restorage is a wonderful example of like, if it were just me, it would be like a probably not great situational, not funny comedy, but having a partner like Caleb, it makes it funny, but then it makes it even more than what it could have been. So I think, For us, it's together, and I don't know. Hopefully, something.
It's interesting. Yeah. You know, when you talk about working with Caleb, I've found, because I've co-written with some other writers, and I've, you know, done productions with, I've co-directed with a friend of mine. But it's funny because when, you know, you, Caleb, do something, you create this thing. And then Ian, when you do your thing, you create this thing. But when the two of you come together, it becomes this new thing, which is really interesting. And that's what I love about collaboration, is because you can push each other to something that maybe is there, but it was on the surface, and that other person brings it out, which is kind of fun. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think this project is the quintessential example of that, where Ian, you know, our sentiments are a little bit different when it comes to non-comedy. Comedy, it's the same. And then everything in non-comedy is, Ian leans a lot more towards dramedy, these sort of like coming of age films, maybe sort of these like soft familial, like a little bit of drama there, but some sweetness at the end, even if it comes at the expense of some drama. And I can tend to be more genre, psychological, maybe some horror, you know, some thriller in there. And for this, I think what's really beautiful about that is, Ian on his own probably would have made the either maybe a situational comedy, but again, probably it would have, there was still would have been some of the familial drama in there. And probably me on my own, I would have gone very heavy sci-fi or heavy genre. And essentially what this is it is a grounded sci-fi, you know, it's sort of sci-fi done in a way that's very tangible. Again, so the sci-fi happens literally behind closed doors. You don't ever see it really, but obviously you know that it's there because of the way that it affects the characters. And then through that, we're able to actually show the familial drama centered around the sci-fi that you never actually really see, but is always present, which in a way is very thematic for the characters, because they have this drama there that we aren't necessarily seeing these issues, but it is there and you feel the weight of that. And so I think the marriage between the two is, and again, maybe, you know, it would have been something very different, but it is hopefully the best version that we could have made it by, again, the marriage of that collaboration between our two different sentiments.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Well, tell people where they can find you if they want to follow your work, like Instagram, websites. Where can they track you down? Let's start with you, Caleb. Whoever, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Instagram, Caleb Keith Davis. We have Davis Creative Productions, which is all commercial sort of stuff. I think that's it. I don't really use Facebook or Twitter, or I am on them, but I'm more stock than I do anything. Instagram is a big one, LinkedIn, and then Davis Creative, and then Ian stuff. We also have something called Thinking Sideways, which I think is now the blend that we're trying out. We're trying out to do a production, like a kind of production company for our ideas called Thinking Sideways. So maybe that'll happen someday. Who knows? We'll see.
Ian, where can they find you?
Primarily on Instagram. So it's just Instagram/IanVerdugo. And then also my website, IanVerdugo.com. And then I am active on LinkedIn, you guys. But that's mainly for my corporate clients. But I do want to throw out there, if there happens to be a corporate client listening, you know, they might be like, I need some weird guy that does film. LinkedIn. And also Restorage.tv is our, like, Restorage account.
Thank you.
On Instagram. Instagram. Those are
Awesome. Well, it's a great, great pilot. I enjoyed it a lot. Thought it was very clever. You guys did a heck of a job. And if you're ever up Austin way, you know, give me a shout. We'll grab coffee or lunch or whatever.
Yes. Hey, Jeff, thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing this interview and for watching the pilot. We appreciate it.
All right. Well, you guys take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. All right. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Filmmaker Mixer podcast, a podcast created and hosted by filmmakers Jeff Stolen and Andrew Lamping, and produced by Melody Lopez.
Our theme song was composed by Stephen D. Bennett.
Make sure to follow or subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on, and stay tuned for future episodes.